Appreciate the Lord this morning, his blessings to us. Thankful for the privilege to be in this good meeting. I mentioned earlier when I came here that I visited my folks on the way out here, some of my relatives and some of my wife's relatives. And I'll tell you, it's a different world out there than this is here in a meeting like this, as I'm sure most of you realize. But I see the bondage they're in. I see the what they're putting their time on, and what's important seems to be what they're wrapped up in. I see so much dissatisfaction, so much discontentment, and I see so much bondage. And I see people so entangled and bogged. And one fellow back there married to my niece and was talking something about taking their picture or something of them. And he said, well, something said about taking a picture of smoking or something like that. He said, well, if you take my picture, he said, I'll be either smoking or drinking a cup of coffee one, because I do that all the time. So I just thinking how people are so in bondage to those kind of things, and I'm just so glad to be free, and I have a burden for them. I desire to see them free too this morning, and pray the Lord. Seemed like I've never, of all the people I've witnessed to over the years, I don't know if anybody else finds it like that or not, but it just seems to me it's kind of hard for me to witness to my people somehow or another. And they've all got, many of them has religion and all. But I'll pray the Lord, if we're having that problem, that the Lord will help us to put forth a little more effort to do that. Because I got to be with my brother in California a month or two before he died, my oldest brother. I'd been around him some, not a whole lot over the years, but he was old and I could see that he wasn't going to be here long. And I just got up the courage in the Lord and Lord, I want to have prayer with you. I want to have prayer with you. And they didn't used to nothing like that. So he thought that was fine. They was eager for that. And so I had good prayer with him and talked with him a little bit. And then I left him and his wife, both in tears. Talked to him about his soul. And then I heard after he'd passed away, I didn't get to go to the funeral. I was going on a trip. But his wife wrote to him and told me, well, that prayer, it said that he just changed, you know, just changed. It was wonderful. He thought that was the most wonderful thing, that I'd have prayer with him. And I talked to him about the Lord. He thought that was the most wonderful thing. And she said he just talked about it, I hope that he got right with the Lord before he died. I had some hope anyway that he did. But the Lord encouraged us to be a little more bolder about those kind of things. And so, Lord, help us each one. Thought I have is, pray the Lord will help us, but been here a lot in the meeting, and I've been preaching a lot too, of looking to the Lord. Looking to the Lord for ourselves. And that's what we should do. The Bible said every man shall bear his own burden. When it comes to our own soul, well, then we must be responsible to God for that. Bear his own burden about our soul. And I've been preaching that as much as you have, maybe more than some. But look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. Keep your eyes on him. We've heard it mentioned this meeting, and I'm not contradicting that, about not looking to the group or something like that. And I understand what the burden is and what they're trying to say. And I've preached that too. And I'm not looking to the movement, not looking to the group and those kind of things. But I just thinking as I've been hearing that, and like I said, I've preached it too, so don't find any fault with that. But I just thinking about it, that we are to look to God. That's the place we must look to. Yeah. We must look to the Lord. Peter said in his word, he said there, look unto me and you shall not be confounded or confused, he said. And you won't be confused as long as you look to the Lord. And that's where we need to look in time of trouble. Look unto me, I believe it said in Isaiah 1 play, look unto me and be thou saved. So we are instructed to look to the Lord, to look to the Lord. We're instructed to keep our eyes on Him, keep our eyes on Him. We're instructed to trust in Him and personally acquainted with Him. But I'm thinking this morning, and this little thought dropped into my mind as some of the word was being brought out, and how that the Lord wants us to look to Him. I was over in Honduras a couple weeks ago, you heard me say, and I was praying. I was going to have a little Bible study or service with some folks in a little old rundown shack, what we would probably have as a barn or something other over here. But anyway, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't know anything to tell these people. All I know to do is just point them to you. And I was praying like that. And the Lord says, I want you to teach them. I want you to teach them. Just don't tell them about me, but you teach them. And I tell you, that changed my, I stopped my prayer and began to look another direction. And my thought came to my mind where Nicodemus said, about Jesus, I know that thou art a teacher come from God. And so went to church that night and had service with the folks there. A bunch of people in the little village there gathered into the little old darkened shack-like of a place there. And we had a good Bible study there. I taught them how to get along together and how their husbands treat their wives and how to treat their husbands and how to get along in the church and how to raise their children. So although we look to the Lord and we point people to the Lord, that's what we're supposed to do. But God, the old song they used to sing about Paul's ministry, said, now Paul in the song said, I'm leaving this up to you. Paul said, how's that go? I've counted on Adam, counted on Cain, counted on Jonah, and he's the same. Go tell the world, Paul, I'm counting on you. And so even though Jesus is the main object, and even though we point people to Him, and even though we look to Him for personal help, but God wants some people here that people can look to. That people can look to. He's calling for some people that people can watch and people can see. He's wanting some people like that. He wants some people that he can appoint them to them. What was it they told about old Brother Crawley used to say? If you want to see a saint, just watch me. Just watch me. God wants some saints that people can see Jesus in them. He wants some of them kind of people. And therefore, He wants people that you and I can trust, that you and I can have some examples to look forward, to look to. God wanted them kind of people. And God wants congregation where that He can point people. You want to find the truth? Go there. Old Brother McCoy used to pray in Dayton so many times. He'd say, Lord, make this place a lighthouse. Make it a lighthouse. And you know what that means. This is a place when people are lost and out in the fog and in the mist that they can have a place they can come to. I believe the Lord wants congregation that He can point people to. Point people to. Go down there if you want to find the truth. Go down there. That's where they preach the truth down there. Go down there. That's where they live the truth down there. I believe God wants some people that He can have people to look to. I was telling somebody yesterday about dear old Sister Clevenger back there at home, lived for many years, isolated, not in a congregation or anything, but she lived such a life before her children and raised 10 children, I believe it was, and taught them in ways and raised them right out of the, like I said, not being in a congregation or anything, and none of them got saved, but she lived in such a way, and she prayed in such a way, and she lived before those children and taught them in such a way that when they grew up and after she had already died, why, one of her sons got saved. And when he got saved, he knew exactly how he's supposed to live. He knew exactly how he's supposed to live. We had a little revival meeting in a barn loft over there in West Virginia, and he came about every night of the meeting, and finally on the last night, he came to the altar. He said, "Well, I've been coming all week, and I'm convinced this is what I should do. I'm convinced this is what I should do." And he got saved, and just started right off living for God. Knew. And I talked to him, and since that time, three or four of our grandchildren got saved. Brother Marty over at home preaching for us now. Precious little brother, Lord blessing him. And one of the granddaughters was telling me not long ago, talking to her about getting saved. She said, when we was growing up and reason we didn't get saved, we knew how grandma lived. We knew how grandma lived. And we knew that if we got saved, we're going to have to live like grandma lived. And she said, we knew there was no use to get saved until we become willing to live like grandma lived. But no use to get saved. Couldn't live no different. If I'm going to be saved, then I'm going to have to live like grandma taught us, like grandma lived. And finally they got saved. Three or four of them got saved. And when they got saved, they just come right in. They just measured right up. They took off their jewelry. They put on their dresses, and they got rid of their pants, and they got rid of their makeup, and they started letting their hair grow out, and they just started coming to church and testifying, witnessing for God. Just took right off. God wants some people like that today. God wants some people like that today. People that people can look at, and God is calling you and I. He's calling you and I to live in such a way that people can see God in us. God in us. Not that they're going to follow us or anything like that, but God wants some people. What did he say something about? That we are epistle known and read of all men. God wants you and I to be a living witness for him. A living Bible, if you want to put it that way. A living Christ. That's what. What did he say about back there? They said, we want to see, told Jesus, we want to see the Father. We want to see the Father. And he said, why, you've been with me all this time and you haven't seen the Father. He said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. You've seen the Father. And then he tells us in there one place about being changed to the express image of our Father. God wants you and I. He's calling some people right here in this world, right here in this old sinful world. He said, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And he's calling some people to live right here in this world and live in an example and living in a way that people can see Jesus, that people can see Christ in our life, and that they can see somebody who is living this thing and somebody who is lifting up the example, being the example and being the light. What did he say? He said, you're a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. He said, you are the light of the world. And I know in order for us to be the light of the world, we have to have him in us. We all know that this morning. But anyway, God has called his church and calling his people to live like Christ lived right here in this world. And to be the example that he has, that he left for us this morning. May the Lord bless us this morning. Lord, been talking to my heart about this. And I don't want to change the message. And I'm not condemning what's been said. I preach it too. And I'm going to still preach people to look to him. Look to him. But God wants somebody that he can show them right down here. He wants some people. that will live right here in this world and be an image, of Jesus Christ right here in this world. He's wanting some people to be like that. And I want to say this morning that people are looking. They're looking for something another. Our words are so frivolous many times. And what we say, it a lot of times it just don't have a whole lot of weight to it. But it's that life that we're going to live. It's that life that we're going to live. That's going to tell the story. And God wanting you and I, and He calling for people. He calling for the church of God. He calling for you and I as saints of God to live in such a way that people can see how we're supposed to live. How we're supposed to live. More than just looking. Yeah, we're going to look to Him. We're going to look to Him for all things. But God has a church. He wants to work through His church. He wants to work through His people. He wants them to be right here. And I want to say something, and this is my main little thought, that people are watching you and I. They're watching you and I. They're watching everything we do. If we're testifying this morning to be saints in light, saints of God, they're watching every move that you and I make. Every one of them. And I'm going to say this. You and I are having an influence. We're having an influence. Everybody has some kind of an influence. We're influencing people in some way or another. We're influencing somebody some way, somehow, or another. We're influencing the people around about us. They're watching everything. Your children are watching everything we do. If we're testifying to be saved and sanctified, we're being watched. Don't you ever doubt that. Don't you ever doubt. I am amazed. And last year I was sitting here and I just kind of had a pen and I was kind of diddling on my hand there, marking a little bit or something or another, just kind of marking in the veins. Somebody, after meeting somebody, said, "Boy, must have been something real important in your hand. You was, you know, watching it there." I didn't know nobody was watching me writing in my hand. People are watching every one of us. They're watching you and I. They're watching the way we live. They're watching the way we talk. They're watching our conduct. We're having an influence. Every one of us is having an influence. Whether we want it or not. We like to say, "Well, I don't want you looking at me. I don't want nobody following me." Well, I don't either in that sense of the word. But by the grace of God, I want to live so where people can see something or another. I want to live. I'm not wanting anybody to follow me or set me up as an example or anything like that. But God help me. I know that there's people watching me. I know that. And I know my children watching me. I know the people around about me are watching me. I know their eyes are on me. I know that. And God help me. I feel like I've come short so many times. I failed maybe to be just exactly all I like to be in. But God help us this morning. I got this little thought when Tony was preaching the other day where he said, Simon Peter said unto them, "I go fishing," 21st chapter of Luke. And they said unto him, "We also go with thee." We'll just go too. And I got this thought. Then seemed like these other disciples here, seemed like some of them are fishers too, I guess. Yeah. And so, but it didn't say anything about them wanting to go fishing. It didn't say anything about them wanting to go fishing. But when Peter said, "I'm going to go fishing," then they said, We'll just go too. Don't you see the influence that we have here? Can't you see Peter, he maybe didn't think nothing about it. He said, "Well, I just believe I'll go fishing." And as Tony brought out was that he might have, you know, just wanted to get away from things and so forth and so on. But anyway, I thought, well, then right away, them other fellows picked it up. Well, if you're going, I'll just go too. I'll go with you. We'll just go with you.
And so I thought about then how I see this with my own eyes. I see people, something come along in our midst sometimes, and something rise up, and somebody does something or other, and pretty soon you see somebody else doing the same thing. Yes. Doing the same thing. Yeah, somebody come along and how to have such an influence. Peter said, I believe I'll go fishing. Well, if you're going, I'll just go too. I know, you know. Peter, I believe you're in contact with the Lord, and I believe you know what you're doing, and so it must be all right. I'll just go along with you too. We'll just all go fishing. And so I'm thinking about this little thought, and hope the Lord will help us to get out of what's on our mind. But I'm thinking then how right away these other folks said, we'll go too. And so I'm thinking then how important it is that every one of us, what carefulness it wrought in me. What carefulness, Paul said, it wrought in me. And I keep being reminded of the time the Lord visited me in the car that back then, what he said to me, be very careful, very careful. And I thought, what carefulness brought in. Because every decision, and especially you that have been saved for quite a while, and you young folks, all of us this morning that's saved, I think how important it is that every move we make, and I'm not trying to put us in a straitjacket here this morning, but I'm thinking how, because somebody, whatever you do, that's going to have effect on somebody else. And so we need to be very, very careful, very, very watchful, very, very weighing out the things that we do. And then because what you do, somebody else is going to see that. And they're going to be somebody, most likely, they're going to start doing that too. That's going to affect them in such a way. You say, well, we look to the Lord. Yes, that's the place we have to look. But that's why if we don't look to the Lord, sometimes we'll be confused. But I'm trying to get a little thought before us here this morning that'll help us to live more careful before the Lord. Because we're going to have an influence. You remember the story, and I don't take time to go over and read it, about the spies that came back, and made the report. Oh, it said they went over there they said, by there's giants over there. Giants over there. Oh, it's a wonderful land over there. It's a wonderful place over there. And there's milk and honey and pomegranates, and almost remind me of Honduras sometime or another. I was over there the other day. I was just trying to write down how many different kind of fruits that grow on that island. I wrote down quite a bunch of them. They got this guy, and they got apples, and they got peaches, and they got pineapples, and they've got coconuts, and they've got watermelons, and they've got cantaloupes, and you can just eat all the fruits you just want to eat. I eat so much, got sick ones over one time. But anyway, you can just eat all you want to. Yeah, it's a wonderful place over there in that Canaan land. Oh, it's a wonderful, but there's giants over there. There's giants over there. And we were just like grasshoppers in their sight. You know the influence, the effect that had? That had such an effect on the people. And they came back there and gave that report, and then the Bible said, they begin to, well, may the Lord help. Where that Numbers is that? 14th chapter number or something. Is that where it is? I've been accused of preaching a lot without reading the Bible, so may the Lord help us this morning. I believe that's where it was, yeah. And it says here, and in the 14th verse, 14th chapter, they saw the giants there in 33rd, and the son of Anak and the common giant. And we were on our own side of grasshoppers over our side. And listen, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Started people murmuring and complaining, and all those kind of things. See the influence. I'm glad it was somebody said there, we're well able to do it. Let's just get up and go on. We're well able to do it. The Bible said, well, they had another spirit anyway. And anyway, but I see the influence of that report that they gave. It called the people. It throwed the people in a lot of confusion. And they didn't know what to do. And they began to murmur and find fault and all those kind of things with the preacher and with the prophet and all those things. Oh, how careful that you and I should walk before God. Because we're having an influence on other folks. And every one of us is being influenced by somebody. Oh, I think about how the old saying is, like father, like son. I just amazed. I mentioned maybe the other day over there, one of my nephews had gotten back my life all messed up, and then he'd been married, lived four times, and his wife ain't getting along and all those kind of things, and then going along there, and his mother and over some place, the boy children's mother one place, daddy's another place, and this and so, and don't you know, lo and behold, his son came along and done the very, very same thing. Now he left his wife and married another young woman, quite a bit younger than himself. Don't you see the influence, this thing that we have on our children, on those around about us? So many times, I believe it was mentioned last night, so many times, it's a known fact that people, it was mentioned last night, that abuse their children. So many times those children turn around and abuse their children too. It just goes that way. We're having an influence. I'm going to. So you and I, as the saints of God, and I'm taking it this morning that most of us here are that kind of people. And so it is. I'm taking it how that you and I need to walk so careful before God. And Lord, help me to do it too. But anyway, how that we need to, our decisions and what we're going to do. I was thinking of something or another. I've seen something of late. Some of the young sisters have changed the way they do their hair. They've been twisting it up and letting it hang down and curling it and all that kind of stuff. Somebody did that. And you know, I noticed it wasn't very long till some of the others were doing the very same thing. Young folks, let me tell you something to you this morning. Be careful about those kind of things. Because you say, well, it won't hurt nobody. You heard the old saying here, well, it won't hurt nobody but me. Yes, it does, too. Somebody else is looking how you're doing that thing. I've noticed that right among the saints. And I don't think it looks very saintly myself, to tell you the truth. But what I'm mostly talking about is this morning, I've seen how, if I see, and I notice sometimes when the styles and the fads and things like come along and change. I notice somebody sometimes, well, they'll go put something on, and I know as long as it's modest and plain and simple, it don't have to be a certain color, a certain, all these kind of things, I know that. But you watch. You let something another of the world kind of get a little start, and you watch how soon that other folks start doing it too. Other folks start doing it too. So when I go to the store to buy my clothes, I need to consider, well, now, how's this going to look, you know? What kind of an impression is this going to leave on other folks? And when I look in my I remember Brother Clifford preached one time right here, I think it was it. That's back when the girls were wearing a lot of short dresses. Now they've got extra long. I might put this in right here. Some of them real extra long ones can look awful whirly sometimes if they fit too tight. Lord help us this morning. But watch. When something comes along, somebody else will take it up. And you and I, we are having an influence. Our lives. If we're saying we're saved, if we're saying we're the truth, if we're saying we're a child of God, if we're saying we're sanctified, if we're saying we're saved, somebody is watching that thing. From the very least. I know they watch the preacher. They even keep a real eye on them. But I want to tell you right here this morning, from the very least to the greatest, if there is such a thing, they're watching you too. You young folks need to be very careful how you dress. You need to be careful about that. We've had good examples all down through the long as I've been around anyway, that have a modest standard of dress, that they dress plain and they dress modest and saintly like, that no question. I remember my wife, after she was saved for about a year or so, she got saved in November, and this was in the spring. She was going to make her some new spring clothes. And of course, we was saved in a congregation in Dayton. They put a lot of emphasis on long sleeves and things like that. But anyway, she said she'd been wearing just regular sleeves down about her elbow or something like that. My wife always was a modest person before she'd even saved. But she woke up one morning and she says, we're talking there in the bed and she's getting ready to make her some dresses. And she said, you know, I believe that I'll just make my dresses all with long sleeves. I'll just make all of them long sleeves. I said, well, there's one thing about it. If you do that, wherever you go, you won't have to worry about it. You won't have to worry about it. You can lift your hand anywhere you go. And you won't have to wonder about it. You won't have to wonder about it. And so, I'm just to mention these to bring up my point altogether. Because you watch. I've watched it for 30-some years now. You let something come along among the saints, and you watch and see. There'll be other folks take it right up. And the first thing you know, others will be doing it too. Oh, how careful the Lord would have you and I to watch ourselves. And carelessness. We heard about that yesterday, being careless. And we don't mean to bring a reproach on the cause of God. I don't believe saints want to do that. We don't mean to start a new style of some kind or another. We don't mean to do that. But we can just kind of get careless sometimes. Oh, how watchful. I remember my dear wife used to have a weight problem. And she had two or three different wardrobes. And she'd get on some weight, and it would cause her dresses to shorten up some. And she'd come and walk before me. Sometimes when she'd know if it didn't just feel just right. You know, she prayed out in front of me. She said, how's that look? How's it look? Is it too short? Lord, help us this morning. I don't know. Is that too close? That ain't too close, is it? No, I'm not putting her up some kind of special down, but to me she was. But I know one thing. When I first went to West Virginia, and people were getting saved over there just from out of the world that knew nothing about the saints and knew nothing about the things of the God, very little anyway, if any. I know one thing. When I was preaching there in them old schoolhouses and them old rundown church houses and them old tents, and I was preaching there and I was preaching what God could do and how God could save and God could save to the uttermost and all those kind of things. I know one thing. She was sitting over there and they was watching her about as much as they was me. She was preaching as loud as I was. Those sisters couldn't get their eyes off of her. They seen how she was dressed and how she conducted herself. And she was preaching loud as I was. Preaching as loud. And when we got folks got saved and we started teaching some of the teachings and the standards and the doctrine and so forth, it was no problem. They already knew what Brother Salmons preached. They already knew what he stood for. I tell you folks, it's important for you and I to be that person that God can use. God wants to use you and I. He wants to use us. He wants to use you and I to point you and people to the way of the Lord. He called his church and called his people and endued it with power from on high. We heard in this meeting that he has available everything you and I need. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That we might, what he said over there, the word of God was profitable for doctrine, for instruction, for a teaching, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. There's available to you and I this morning the graces of God and the Holy Spirit and the power of God and the anointing of God and the love of God and the mercy of God. There's enough available to you and I to enable you and I to be an example for God right here in this present world. Being able to bridle our tongue. Being able to control our emotion. Being able, we heard about that yesterday morning, about what the Holy Ghost can do for us. Can give us power to be able to control our actions and control our ways. And when we see something another in our life, as was mentioned, I believe, yesterday too, when we see something in our life that's marring the beauty of the holiness and purity, and when I see something in my life is not Christ-like, it's not being showing a good example, then I need, by the power of God, to adjust that thing, to put it in perspective and bring it into control, where I can be that example that the Lord wants me to be right here in this present world. What did it say one place? We're His workmanship, created by Christ Jesus. God wants to make us in His very image this morning. May the Lord help us this morning. That thought keeps coming to my mind. Where's that in Corinthians there somewhere or another? About the very image. May the Lord help us this morning. Third chapter. Amen. Yes, he said, you're now the Lord. 17th verse, that spirit, where the spirit of the Lord is, our liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Changed into the very image. God, won't you and I, as we look into that looking glass, we can see what we look like. We see what we look like. And I didn't finish my thought about Brother Clifford. I remember brought out a fact. And when, like I said, when there was quite a bit of preaching about that, the short skirts and all, don't have that too much anymore. But anyway, I remember he said, if you want to see how you look, then go sit down in a chair and put you a big mirror out there in front of you, and then sit there and cross your legs and look at yourself. And then you'll see what other folks are seeing. The Lord help us this morning. Change into the very image, to glory to glory. God wants you and I. He wants to polish us. He wants to take away the rough places. What did he say? He would fill up the low places, bring down the high places, cut off the wide places, and so forth and so on. To bring and create you and I in a very image of His Son. That's what He's calling us to be. Changing us. And as you look into that mirror and you behold, what you say, who is that mirror? It's Jesus Christ. He's the mirror. And as I look into Him, and as I look how He acts, how He handled His situations, how He treated other folks, and how He conducted Himself, and how He handled others that came against Him, how when He was reviled, He reviled not again. When He was accused, when He was lied upon, when He was spit upon, when He was smitten, when He was crucified, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And as we look into Him, and that's why it goes back looking to Him. As we look into Him, then we are, that changes us into His image. His image begins to reflect out of our life. He wants to reflect out of our life. Oh, the Lord, help us this morning. This is a dark world. Didn't the Bible say something about the old man being sober? The old man being sober. What for? What for? God calling for some old men to be sober. Be sober. Somebody turn and read some of that if you want to. Being sober. Sober. Why? What's the matter? Why, I'm old, and I don't have to worry. I'm already saved. The devil comes along and says, well, you can just take it easy now. You're all right. You don't have to worry about it. You've worked a long time. You're tired, and you're all these kind of things. You don't have to get too concerned about it. No, the Lord is still calling me. If I don't never preach anymore, he's calling me to be an example of one thing. He said to the old man, be grave, temperate. Wise, huh?
Temperate.
Why? Temperate, wise, and temperate.
Self-control.
I wonder why. Because young people are watching old people. They're watching old people. Oh, the Lord help us today. Been brought out in this meeting. I've been thinking about these blocks been stacking right on top of one another. Been brought out in this meeting about how God wants to be glorified in our death. He wants to be glorified. I believe that was brought out. Wants to be glorified in our death. Lord, help us old folks. When it comes time to die, that we'll just submit to it. Submit to it. Lord, help me to die. If this is death, it's sweet. Praise the Lord. I'm glad this morning. I've got it fixed. If I know my heart this morning, it don't make no difference to me. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to stay. I'm ready to die. And I wrote somebody a letter the other day or something or other that seemed like more of me's on the other side now than it is on the other side. I seem like think more about over there than I do down here lots of time. Lord, help me. Help us as old people that when we come down, people are going to watch how I'm going to die. Lord, I'm beginning to wonder how I'm going to die. I've been praying the Lord when he gets through with me that I'll just drop dead in the pulpit someday or another. And that's what I'd like to really do. Just drop dead of preaching sometime or another. But anyway, I won't have a choice in that. But whatever way it happens to come, I want God to be glorified in the thing. I don't want to murmur and draw back. And I don't want to hang on when it comes time to go. Oh, Lord, help us to glorify him when we die. So people. Oh, the other people are going to look on. I know some people. I know some children have been disappointed in those very same things. Been disappointed. Their parents had told them how they trusted God and how they loved the Lord and how they were looking forward to going to heaven and how they're looking forward to meeting the Lord. And then when he come down and ready time to go, oh, they were just drawing back. They were just struggling to stay here. And they just wanted, I guess it's normal to want to stay as long as you can sometimes. But oh, God, help us old folks that when we come down to die, that we'll be able to die with grace and with a victory in our soul, and we can leave a good testimony. If this is death, it's sweet. Praise God. Come on, I'm waiting for you. I'd like to be like old Jacob of old, like back there when he died. It said he just drew all his sons around and talked to them and just told them goodbye, so to speak, and then he put his feet up in the bed and just died. That'd be a wonderful way to die. When says, oh, I'll be waiting for you over there. Come on over. I'm going on over on the other side. I believe it can be so. I believe it can be so this morning. I believe God can enable us the same grace that he gives us to live. I believe he can give us that grace to die too. So may the Lord help us this morning. Oh, people, be sober and be wise and have things in control, able to control ourselves. Don't be so hard to get along with. Don't be so hard to be taken care of. I just submit ourselves. I told somebody, well, the Lord, he'll make a way for us. We heard that in the meeting too. He's going to make a way for our escape. And he'll make a way for us. But we're going to have to be, and Lord help me when it comes down to that time. Whatever the Lord makes a way, I want to be willing to accept that way he's made for me. I don't want to be a lot of trouble to people if I live to be old. Bible said, or somebody said, well, you just get old. You're not really old, but you get old. And so I'm just still getting old. I'm not old yet, but I'm getting that way. And so it is this morning. Oh, people, let's be sober this morning. And what did it say something else there? About the wives, the women, older women. Aged women also that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Aged women. I wonder, this is still on my thought this morning. We are leaving an influence on people. I'm going to fish on, Peter said. Well, I'll just go to. People are going to do things. I get scared sometimes. I tremble sometimes when I've heard. I had one sister tell me, when a young person told me one time, said, Brother Salmon, you better tell me the truth. Old sister Janet that died and went on to be with the Lord back there, she told me, she said, you better tell me the truth because I'm going to do exactly what you say. I'll tell you, that brings the fear of God in my soul. That brings the fear of trembling in my heart when I gave her some instruction. I tell you, it has to be right. It has to be right because we're going to be responsible. I'm going to say something else. If you and I today are going to, if we're going to leave that wrong thing, people are watching me, and if I'm testifying, I'll be a saint of God, and I'm not living like I'm supposed to live. I'm leaving a bad influence. I'm going to be a stumbling block to folk. I'm going to have to answer to God for that thing sometime or another, and I need to walk softly before the Lord. I believe one said of old, he walked softly before God. We need to walk softly before the Lord because somebody is watching us. And I know you might, I know you want to shrink away from that. I don't want nobody looking at me. Here they are, you young folks. It might be that one who just come around and just gotten saved. It might be that one that's had a hard time in life looking for some young folks who'll be example. We get to that. But the aged women, it said over there, ought to be that way for a reason. There's a reason for that.
That they may teach the young women.
They may teach the young women. And what greater teaching is? Oh, we all heard about it. Sister Roberta talking about her mother. I've heard about her down through the years. And that's probably why she's saved today. We have a lot to do with it anyway. We always heard about old grandma, how grandma lived. We always heard them fellows talking. And Brother Clifford Smith telling me the other night how he watched his dear dad, how he was a perfect example before him. He never murmured. He never complained. He never said anything bad about anybody. He just treated everybody right. And that's one reason that Clifford, he has a perfect example of following right in his footsteps. Oh, God, help us this morning. We need that in this old sinful world we're in today. We need some older sisters. And God help some of you here. Maybe we don't like to acknowledge we're old sometimes. But anyway, God wants us to be exampled, that we might teach, that you might teach the younger ones how to love their husbands and to love their children. God wants to use people just like us, sir. Oh, think about a message we preached some time ago. Oh, now where Paul, I wrote a letter to the church, and he said, unto the church of God, which is called to be saints. Every one of us this morning is called to be a saint of God. We're called. We have a definite, no matter whether you're preaching or not, no matter how long you've been saved, no matter what you are this morning, you have a calling from God, a definite calling from God, and that's the greatest calling that's ever been anybody had. That's greater than being called to preach. It's greater than being a missionary. It's greater than being a Sunday school teacher. It's greater than all other things. Is that call to be a saint of God? That's the greatest call of anyone. Because if we're not living like saints, our preaching ain't going to be no good anyway. Or anything else that we try to do won't accomplish very much. And so, at first and foremost, I call it that God is calling you and I to be saints. Right here in this 1994 to almost 1995. And I said again, and I know it's just an expression, but if there ever was a time that we need some of these things, it must be today. It must be today. If there ever was a time that we need some saints of God to live this thing, it must be today. If it ever was a time in a darkness, as one old brother used to say, the darker the place, place of the brighter the light that shines. And so it is, this old dark world that we live in today. And I want to tell you something. I used to tell the folks there at home, they won't come to meeting anymore. Hard to get people out to revival meetings. Hard to get folks out to camp meeting anymore. I used to tell the folks there, I guess we still do, but oh, the only way they're going to know what's being preached down there at that congregation is the way you live out there on the job, the way you live out there in your neighborhood, the way you treat your neighbors, the way you treat one another, the way you appear in public. That's the only way that they're going to know what we're preaching down here, and they're going to weigh that, and whatever they, what did the Bible say, even a child is known by doings. Even a child is known by doing. And so you and I, if we are part of the Guthrie congregation, the only way that most people is going to know what Brother Elwell's preaching here is about how you folks live out there on the job. How you conduct your business affairs, and how you treat your neighbors, and how you conduct yourself in school or wherever you may be. Then they're going to say, well, those folks, they go over at that church of God. That's what they believe over there. That's what they preach over there. Those are good people. They come from such and such a place. Oh, the Lord help us this morning. I'm going fishing. Well, I'll just go with you. I'll just go with you. Whatever you do, I'll do. Whatever you do, I'll do it. I know we're not supposed to follow people all together like that, but it's just human, seem like human nature to follow somebody. It's just human nature. That's why Hitler rose to his power. It was created. God created people with something in them to follow. He made them that way because he had intention for them of following him. That's why he made them that way. His intention was that man would follow him. You remember when it grieved the Lord when they wanted a king over there, didn't it? It grieved God because they wanted a king like the other people. He wanted to be their leader. He wanted to be their king. It grieved God like that. And so it is. It's a natural. And that's why these false prophets can take advantage of people. Because there's something in a person. There's a natural part of man that wants to follow. That it's just created a part of us to follow. Somebody looking for something to follow. And that's why that these false prophets and these cults and leaders and things can get people to follow them right into suicide or anything else. I'm simply amazed how much people can dominate things like that. But it only shows that there's something in human beings that are prone to follow. And so it is. That's why we have to be careful what we're following. We have to be careful because not only what we're following, but we're going to have to be careful about those going to follow us. Somebody going to follow you. Oh, that you might be able to teach the young women how to love their husbands and how to love their children. Oh, my Lord, help us. We need some good teaching along that line right there. Oh, you young men. Oh, we need some young men. I thank God for some of the young men we have in our midst. I thank God for them. But we need young men. Oh, husband. The whole world knows that one of the greatest problems in the United States today is the breakdown of the family life. Even the world knows that. Even those kind of fellows that teach those things know that's the problem. And it is. They don't even know what to... I've heard them talk on these talk shows sometimes, and they don't even know what a family is. Some people don't know what a family is. They call two men getting married, they call that a family. They lost sight of what a family really is. Some single parent out there raising somebody, that's a family. We know what God in the beginning, he created a male and female. God's in the family business, I've heard it said. And Lord, I want to tell you, whatever that happened in the world, it has a tendency to come around close home. I've noticed that over the years. You just let things change out in the world. You let a certain style change out in the world. And I guarantee it won't be long till you'll see it start showing up around the camp of the saints. Lord, help us this morning. We're that way. That's why that we must live close to God. We must live careful before the Lord. We must be what God calling us to be, saints of God. That's what we're called to be, as saints of God. Husbands. Oh, we need husbands. We need God set it up that way. The man to be the dominating factor in the home. He don't run over his wife. But he's the one to be the leader, to be the leader of the family. That's God's plan. And I know sometimes women are smarter than the men sometimes. And I know, I understand those kind of things. But even if she is, talking somewhere in Bible study not long ago on here, even if your wife has more business sense than you do, and even though if she kind of maybe a little stronger in something you are, her job is still to be your helper. Her job is not to take that over and run it herself, but help that poor old husband. Don't know too much. Help him to do it. Help him. That's what God gave you for him anyway, to be a helper. That's what you're for. That's what God made you for, to be a helper to the husband. And when you do it like that, it's going to work, because God's way always works like that. Wives, be submissive to your own husbands. Oh, I can't even submit myself to that fella. I'm going to tell you what. God will bless you for it. He may not treat you right. And he may not be the most loving husband in the country. And he may give you a hard time. But if you'll submit, if you'll be submissive, God will bless you. God will bless you. Because that's his plan for the thing. That's his plan. Oh, we need some of those kind of husbands that'll take the charge, that be the motivator and be the cultivator. We talked a little study over at home a while back. A husband man is a cultivator. He's the one that takes up the weeds, and he's the one that softens, plows up the ground, and he's the one that trims the shrubs, and he's the one that keeps the garden, the yard cut, and all those kind of things. That's a husband. Well, that's a part of the family life. The Lord wants a husband to be the one that takes care of the problems and things like that. Well, I'm going to tell you, husband, if you can be that kind of husband, your wife, you'll have no problem with your wife being submissive to you. Because she likes that. She likes that. And oh, then the children are going to have an example. They're going to watch you. Oh, I had somebody tell me some years back, I was at a certain place, congregation wasn't here, so clear our minds on that. But anyway, I was in a certain place, and some little old young girl came up to me, getting ready to leave or talking to me. She said, "Now, these people, after you're gone," she said, "they don't live like they do when you're here." That's a bad report, isn't it? That hurt me. It hurt me. You tell me them children ain't watching? Yes, Lord help us this morning. You tell me young folks ain't watching us older folks? God help us this morning. You mothers, all those children watching you. Husbands and wives, how are you going to teach your children how much Jesus loves them if you don't show love to one another? How are you going to teach that? They ain't going to believe that. They see mom and dad fussing and quarreling and can't get along together. Ain't much use to tell them. I tell them, well, Jesus, he's love, and God is love, and mom and dad is both saved. We both love Jesus. That ain't going to amount to anything. Very little, if anything at all. May God help us this morning. I go fishing. I'll just go along with you. So I want to tell you, this is my main thought. You and I be, like I said, like father, like son. And when these things come, it's amazing. Like that father. Somebody was telling me not long ago, I heard somebody telling a story, how they was walking in the snow or something or another, and they looked back behind them, and their little boy come out behind them or something or another, and he was trying his best to put his foot right where his dad was stepping. Trying to put his foot in his step. Oh, that brought a thought to his mind. He's following me. He's following me. I want to tell us, saints, this morning, somebody is looking at you this morning. Somebody's watching you They're watching your attitudes. They're listening to what you have to say. Oh, yes, they are. Yes, they are. And I'm going to tell you, that's going to kill every testimony you give in their eyes. In their eyes. And that's why we need to be very careful. And I'm thinking about something else right here comes to mind. I was thinking about talking. Oh, that talk. Gospel and all that kind of stuff. Talking about ministers. That's a bad thing to do. That's a bad thing to do. If you got something to say to a minister, go talk to him along about it. Go talk to him about it. Don't go around telling other people about it. Don't tell other people about it. Why do I say that? Because you're saying something to somebody. Maybe that very preacher you're talking about is one that person has real confidence in. And the very next time they go to camp meeting, that preacher's going to get up and preach. And the only thing they can think about is what they heard. God help us this morning. Somebody's watching. Somebody's listening. What was that old little monkey they had back in World War II? See no evil. Hear no evil. I think that'd be a good idea for us all. Watching. Because I see it happen. Every time I see something break out kind of among the camp of the saints. I see something come along and the first thing you know, others are pattering right after my thing. Well, that's all right if it's good. If it's a good, something good, that's good. That's what the Lord wants. He wants us to be in such a way that young folks and people coming among us can know. Lord, help us to have a standard of holiness and purity and godliness. I mentioned the other day that people, Lord, wants this congregation here and every congregation that's represented here, they want them to be living in such a way that when people come in among us, they'll see what the real standard of God is. They'll be able to see it. Now, you're always going to have somebody that ain't going to be that way. But I believe the majority can have an effect on this whole thing. May God bless us this morning. I go fishing. I'll just go along too. I don't know Jesus. I don't know where he's at anyway. And I don't know if anything to this anyway. I believe that was brought out too. I'm not sure this is the right way to go anyway. May the Lord help us this morning. Let us walk, what did he say one place? Worthy of the vocation wherein we're called. What is the vocation? That's our job, isn't it? That's what we work at. Career. That's our career. What is your career this morning? What's your job this morning? What's your career this morning? I remember years ago, before I gave up my job in the barber shop, somebody asked me what kind of work I did. And this is after I was preaching, I think. And anyway, they said, I want to know what kind of work I did. I said, well, my main job, my main job is living for the Lord. But I said, I have a part-time job down there at the barber shop I work 10 hours a day at down there. That's my part-time job, 10 hours a day down there. Is that the way we feel about it this morning? That we might walk worthy of the vocation wherein we're called to be a saint of God. Called to be an example to those around about us. And I know every one of us feel maybe this morning, and normal I guess, well, I just don't want people looking at me. I don't want nobody following me. Well, in that sense, we don't follow man. We're very cautious about that. But I'm going to say it again. Somebody's looking at you. Somebody's watching you. If you're testifying this morning to be a saint, somebody's watching you. And they're watching how you talk. They're watching how you conduct yourself. They're watching your attitudes. Amen. They're watching that. Somebody's watching that. And they're going to detect every flaw that's in that thing. Didn't the Bible say something about not being a stumbling block or something? Well, that makes us know we can be a stumbling block, doesn't it? May the Lord help us. We've heard the story, told it a lot of times about it. A sister, I guess, well, we use the women, could be a man. But always, every time they go to prayer meeting, they get up and say, "Oh, you know, what a hard time I'm having. Oh, saints, pray for me. I don't know how much longer I can stand it. It's so hard." And as the story went, was, later on they had a revival meeting. And a young man came who got under conviction. And the lady, the same lady, sister, spoke to him about getting saved. And he said, "Sister," he said, "I've been coming here to prayer meeting for quite a while." And he said, "I've heard your words, how much trouble you're having." And he said, "I've got troubles of my own. I don't need any more. If that's what it is, I don't need any more trouble." God help you and I this morning. Don't you know we ought to be careful what we say in public? Amen. We ought to be careful what we say in public. We ought to be careful about it. You know, just a good old unspoken thing. I know there's times that we give our request. We have that freedom. We don't want to minimize that any at all. But there's some things just better as an unspoken request. A lot of things is just better as an unspoken request. Lord, pray for the church. Lord, we're about all backslid. You know, I heard a fellow preach one time. Wasn't one of the saints. Well, he was among the saints at that time, but he preached a message on the church. And I thought, my, this was in a new place too. And I thought, my, if I was looking for the church, I sure wouldn't want to hear that. Because it sounded terrible. It's a terrible institution. What he said it was. God help us this morning. I go fishing. I'll go too. You and me are having an influence on somebody. Our lives. Our walk with God. Our children. And the young folks. And those around about us are watching how we're going to stand. I have made this statement, and I make it again. I would rather lay down now and die than to bring a reproach on the cause of God. I'd rather do that. Don't want to be a stumbling block in that. Now, I know some people are going to find fault no matter what you do. What did he say over there? How did that go there in Peter anyway, some another? If you do good, if you do wrong, they don't read that way. And they find fault with you, well, that's normal.
What glory is it?
Yeah, what glory is it?
If you be buffeted for your
fault.
Take it patiently.
Take that patience. Well, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, I know I did that thing. I know that. I'm at fault, and I'll just accept that. You forgive me. I'm sorry. I can accept that. But read the rest of it.
But if
we do well,
and suffer for it,
we take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. And one of my thought that scripture is: we can't help sometimes what people say about us, but our job is to see it ain't true. That's our problem. That's where we stand. They might say, "Well, sister or brother so-and-so did this and they done that. And they don't do this and they done that. They said this, they said that," and all this kind of thing. The only problem that you and I have, we can't help what people do. And some people are going to find fault with about anything. But our job is to see it ain't so. It ain't so. May the Lord help us this morning. What kind of influence are we having? I want the Lord to help me. I've got a lot of good out of this meeting. I thought about the thought this morning about making more room for the Lord. I surely feel I need that. I need to make more room. I want to be a better example before the people that I come in contact with. I want to be able to live to where they can have confidence. And when I come down to die, I've often said this, I want to be able, if any of you saints come by, I know it'll have to be by the grace of God, we know that. But I want you to be able to say, we know where old Brother Mark went to. We know where he went. May the Lord help us. We don't want to be like the old time we heard about. Old Brother Harris told about somebody one time that had a funeral. And the preacher said, well, we hope Brother so-and-so went before we know he didn't. We don't want to do that. Well, I hope he made it. I hope he made it. God, you know, that we can do better than that. Sister Opal, we can do better than that. We can do better than that. I believe we can live by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Ghost that we can live in such a way where when we leave this old world, we can have that confidence that they're gone. Isn't it sweet to be around a funeral when you know where they went to? Oh, it's just a kind of a holy place. To me, kind of, when I'm around some of the saints that die around their funerals, it just seems like a kind of a holy atmosphere out there. That's the way it should be. It should be. May the Lord bless us this morning. Examine our hearts this morning. Check it, our life. And let us, and you pray for me, let us walk carefully before God. When we're about to do something, or we're about to wear something, or we're about to fix ourselves in some certain way, or something like that, or we're about to make some kind of a move, some kind of decision, let's weigh it all out. What did the Bible say? Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all your ways be established. Don't just be like the Bible. I believe said somewhere in the Bible about a wild colt or something or other. Just throws its head back and just runs and don't know where it's going to and just stumbles and falls. God, we can't do that in this life. Ponder the path of their faith. Remember, this decision I'm making is going to affect somebody else. It's going to affect somebody else. This thing, well, that's mine. You know, let me mention this. I'm going to try to bring on, feel like I'm through. But there's a danger. There's a dangerous spirit. We heard about spirits. There's a dangerous spirit of being independent. Being independent. I know. What did Paul say? If it offend my brother, eat meat, I won't eat no more meat. Is that too strong? In other words, I've seen this spirit operating. I don't care what they think. I don't care what the saints think. That's a bad attitude. I don't care what they say. I'm going to do it my way. I see that thing in a lot of places where I go. I'm going to do it. And you can preach the word right against what they're doing, and they'll still do what they're doing. I've seen that. Lord, just send the word right on the thing. Point it right out. And still go ahead and do it anyway. Lord, help us this morning. That's a dangerous spirit. Get on a kind of an independent line. We're in this thing together. God's church is a body. It's a body. And members in particular. And every joint supplieth the others. We're knitted together in love. Can't get no closer than the body of Christ. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. We're in this thing together. What you do has something to do with me. And what I do has something to do with you. And we have a responsibility to my brother. The Lord help me. We have a responsibility. I can't move myself off down in the corner and set up a little standard. A little thought I've been using a lot this past summer is build me a little nest. And get in that little nest and just sit there. This is my standard. I don't care what them old preachers talk back there. the Lord help us. That's a bad, bad attitude. Bad, bad attitude. But I see some people who build them a little nest. And they got real comfortable there. And they'll come to church on Sunday morning. And you can just preach all you want to, and they're just sitting in their little nest. Come back next year, they're still sitting in their little nest. Ain't going nowhere. Ain't moved up. Ain't moved down. Sitting in their little mess. I'm real comfortable. Lord blessing me and my wife. I've got money in the bank. I've got a big nice home. I'm driving a nice car. And my children's all healthy. The Lord's sure blessing me. Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. But there's more to it than that. More to it than that. I can't just get somewhere or another and find me a little easy place somewhere or another. I've got to be concerned about what you folks are doing. And I want to tell you, I was real lonesome to come out here this time. I needed to see some of you folks. I get lonesome. Even though I'm out going all the time. Around saints all. But I just get hungry for these kind of meetings. These kind of meetings. I don't know about you, but I draw strength out of these kind of meetings. Amen. I get encouragement. Go away inspired, lift it up. The Lord help us. Lord help us preachers too. People going, you're really been looked at when you get up here. Yes, you are. Really mean. I wish sometimes it didn't have to be that way, but it's so. It's so. Lord help me this morning. Let's every one of us start in this brand new year. Lord, help me to be a better example. I thought about that early this morning. And think about the new year coming on. I thought I'm too old to make New Year's resolutions, but if I had one, Lord, I just want to be a better example for you. The Lord help us this morning. Let's stand. A song. Maybe somebody here feels a need this morning. Like you've been coming short of being that mother you ought to be in, being that father you ought to be in. Maybe some of the older folks have got careless in their latter years. Maybe some of you young folks desire more power in your life. Be a greater example for God. Be a good time to have a good altar service. We can have altar service today just like at night. So come this morning if you want to be that morning. This maybe you just need to come and just commit, rededicate your life to the Lord. I like to see that among the saints sometimes. Just some places I've been, I just invite them all to come and we just all come and pray.